Irish-born writer Samuel Beckett was awarded the 1969 Nobel Prize in Literature for his bleak, tragicomic writings on the psychological and spiritual destitution of modern life, seen most famously in his play Waiting for Godot. And there's a story of Beckett walking with a friend in Paris on a gorgeous spring morning. His friend takes a deep breath of fresh air and says to him, "Doesn't a day like this make you glad to be alive?" To which Beckett replied, "I wouldn't go so far as that." In stark contrast, Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "I am grateful for what I am and what I have. Thanksgiving is perpetual. It is surprising how contented one can be with nothing definite, only a sense of existence." Like perpetual motion, Thoreau's perpetual thanksgiving may not be fully attainable. Yet if we lean into the art and practice of living with continual gratitude, we might be surprised at how much we and others benefit. A growing body of scientific studies confirms this, linking the cultivation of gratitude with better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, and greater long-term life satisfaction. Researchers Robert Emmons and Michael McCullough offer a simple but effective practice toward these ends. In a study, they had people keep a journal listing five things for which they felt grateful. The entries were intentionally brief, just a sentence each, and this was done only once a week. But after 2 months, compared with a control group, the people who kept the gratitude journal were more optimistic and felt happier. They also fell asleep quicker, slept longer, and awoke feeling more rested. This caused Dr. Emmons to advise, quote, "If you want to sleep more soundly, count blessings, not sheep." Once a week, five things you're grateful for. Simple but effective. Cultivating a grateful mindset is like any other habit. It can take little time and effort to make it a regular part of our daily lives. Yet human beings have a great power, the power to choose, both what we do and how we look at things, which I've spoken of quite a bit the last couple of talks I gave. Blogger Kelly S. Buckley offers an example of the latter, how we look at things, when she writes that a number of years ago, quote, "I made a choice that each time I was getting ready in the morning, I was going to give thanks for the stretch marks on my stomach. I've cringed about them for so long, but I decided to change the conversation. I decided to be thankful for them because they were reminders of my beautiful children and the miracle of pregnancy. I decided to reframe what I once perceived as a flaw. It is a life tattoo of a wondrous and miraculous time in my life." Obviously, that shift to gratefulness was good for her. And developing an attitude of gratitude is also good for others, because it's been shown that it often results in more frequent acts of kindness and generosity. Recall that in our reading, Frida Jacques from the Onondaga Nation School said one of the effects of the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address is that it reminds you that you have enough, more than enough. When we do this every day, it leads to an outlook of contentment. And when people adopt this outlook, they're usually eager to pay forward some of the free gifts they now realize they've received from their forebears and from the universe in what I call the great chain of blessing that long preceded each of us, because we stop taking those things for granted. Joni Mitchell expressed this when she sang, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? But in this state of awareness, we now know what we've got while it's still here, while we're still here." And even when a difficult life event or chronic stressors make it harder to remember life's gifts, part of healing and empowerment comes from what we bring to such experiences. For if we regularly fill our thanks tanks in advance, we can enter suffering and hardship with an awareness of and appreciation for the larger connections that have nourished our lives. Hence, we're more likely to be more resilient, more accepting, more able to ride out that tough wave, despite our understandable anxieties and grief of the moment. Here's Kelly S. Buckley again. The world is flawed. So are we. I only wish I had the power to change that with the blink of an eye. We cannot. But we can change our piece of the world. We can change our internal conversations. And we can send out a ripple of possibility. By giving thanks each day, we cast a light into the darkness, reminding ourselves and each other that goodness is never far away. So the benefits are manifold and potent. Because by softening our ego boundaries, what Jane spoke about from one of the readings, that it's all about us, this self-centeredness, by softening that and releasing the delusion of self-sufficiency and connecting us to things far beyond ourselves in space and time, gratitude is a powerful thing. So powerful that the ancient Roman philosopher Cicero declared that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. So powerful that many centuries later, medieval theologian and mystic Meister Eckhart said, as Donna shared, if the only prayer you say in your entire life is thank you, that would suffice. So powerful is gratitude that, as we heard in the Onondaga language, the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving Address is known as the words that come before all else. This is why I titled this talk, The Beatitude of Gratitude. Because beatitude is defined as supreme blessedness and exalted happiness. And when we do our best to practice perpetual thanksgiving, more often than not, that's what results. Among many other things, I'm grateful that our gray UU hymnal contains expressions of gratitude akin to the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving Address. Our chalice lighting words were one instance, and another is, we give thanks this day, by O. Eugene Pickett. So to close, I'll lead us in a slightly adapted version. There are several short stanzas. It's your choice, but if it's comfortable for you, I invite you to place your arms in this receptive posture. After I read each stanza, please respond by saying, we give thanks this day. For the expanding grandeur of creation, worlds known and unknown, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations, we give thanks this day. For this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, its sunsets and seasons, we give thanks this day. For the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, its hopes and achievements, we give thanks this day. For our common humanity, our common past and future hope, our oneness transcending all separation, we give thanks this day. For our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression, we give thanks this day. For high hopes and noble causes, for faith without fanaticism, for understanding of views not shared, we give thanks this day. For all who labored and suffered for a fairer world, who have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom, we give thanks this day. For human liberty and sacred rights, for opportunities to change and grow, to affirm and choose, we give thanks this day. We give thanks this day. We pray that we may not live by our fears, but by our hopes, not by our words alone, but also by our deeds. This day. Now breathe gently for a moment. Just resting in the energy of gratitude. Gratitude grateful for the simple fact that we are alive another day. And if you like, you can silently add the names of other things or people for which you're also thankful. Then, bringing our hands to our hearts, we offer a bow of thanks for all of it. And now our minds are one. Namaste and blessed be.